Hallelujah. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, verse 23, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, make your word really fruitful in us. We pray that we are not those that hear and then forget, that hear and don't understand. Lord, give us a heart that understands. We say to you, Lord, we want to have an ear for your speaking. We are not here for ourselves, we are here for your kingdom. We say to you, Lord, that you would give us grace this morning. We humble ourselves before you. Lord, you say that you give us a humble grace to the humble. Lord, we want to be humble today. Lord, we trust you. We have faith in you that your kingdom would come through us and in us. Praise the Lord. It's so good that we have a conference about such a burning point in the scripture. We don't want to beat around the bush or speak about things that are just
side matters,
but we want to really speak about the important things of the Lord. The kingdom of the Lord is really the burning point of the scripture, that the kingdom of God would come the focal point. It's not such a fight to be saved. It's not a fight that a soul would come into the eternal sea of fire, but it is a fight to bring a person from darkness into light. We have a fight between God and the devil, and we are in the middle of it. It has been even before any of us were born. As God created the man, this battle was already there. And we see at the beginning that the devil was even then so interested in corrupting people. And then Leviticus says, the seed of a woman will break the head of the snake, and you will and he will bite his heel. It's about that the battle is that the kingdom comes on this earth. We think about heaven, we think about the future, we think about a paradise that maybe is not even there as our concepts say, but it's about this earth. And but this is really the enemy and his lies. At the end, we are in a battle, but we don't fight. And that's very easy for an enemy. If the opponent does not fight and he does not use his weapons, he doesn't even expect an attack to become, this battle is already lost. And that's why Matthew 13 speaks about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Not in a very positive and nice way, but in all of these parables, the Lord shows that it is about a battle. When we read these parables about the sower, then the main point is actually negative. It doesn't look very nice. You have a hard ground. You have thin earth. We have earth full of thorns and thistles. And then you only have a small portion that is actually good ground. Then, and tares. The Lord sowed good wheat, good seed in his fields, but the enemy came in the night while everyone was sleeping and sowed tares. And these tares will even be thrown into the fire. Then we see the parable of the leaven and mustard seed. The beginning is very good, but the end is leavened, completely leavened. And we see in these chapters of Matthew 13, or verses of Matthew 13, this is a confrontation of our condition. We really want to stand for God and His kingdom. We are not here at all because we want to read some nice verses and gather some more knowledge, but we want to be able to stand at the end of this time with the Lord and to have victory over the evil one. The Bible has a lot of encouraging, nice verses, but God wants to make us into fighters, into soldiers, into an army who can stand against the enemy when he attacks. Ephesians 6 is such an important chapter and goes well together with Matthew 13. If there's no peace among us, then we don't see a difference between us and other Christians. But what about when the enemy attacks and he comes with his crafty trickiness? And this is what the Lord really wants to show to us in Matthew 13. He wants to teach us how to be these soldiers. He wants to teach us how to gain this fight for this kingdom. And the Lord wants to make it so clear to us that the battle starts in our hearts. It's not something that is outside of us. It's not that people are against us or that someone rejects the truth, but it is a battle that is about our hearts. This is the first thing that the Lord speaks about when he talks about, when he says the parables of the kingdom. He doesn't speak a lot about Satan directly, but he speaks indirectly because the enemy wants to draw our hearts. And when the enemy really gains our hearts, then it's over with the kingdom for us. We all have an influence. It is so important that the Lord is the Lord in our hearts, and this is not so easy. When we see in Matthew 13 that the Lord said he sows in Matthew 13, verse 9, chapter 13, verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, it is about the word of the kingdom. It's about this kingdom. The Lord has to really wake us up. If someone asks us, who are you for in the church life? What is our goal? Maybe that we are hearing some encouraging words, that we survive in a spiritual way, that I have friends, that I have a partner who believes, a spouse. There are many reasons, or there could be many reasons to be in the church, but at the end, the Lord is seeking a remnant who is not there for themselves, but they are here in the church life for the kingdom. Are we so full? Are we so overflowing with the word of the kingdom? I treasure it that the Lord says the word of the kingdom. Lord Jesus Christ, I think this can really only get into us when the Lord brings a deeper revelation. It is definitely an advantage to prepare intensively, because the Lord really wants to speak. You should dig deeper than when there is not just a conference. And we should really take this right privilege. We really have to constantly really dig in the Word. Otherwise, this fullness of the riches of the Word is not in our hearts. I have to disappoint you this morning. I can't do this work for everyone. It is impossible to have this impression of the kingdom through a couple of messages, through 10 messages, but it has to come because we seek and we dig and really get into the Word, that we say to the Lord, Lord, reveal yourself. It really has to be inside of us. The Word of the Kingdom, it's not just a letter, it is the Lord Himself. In Revelation 19, to fight in Armageddon against the beast, then he has a special symbol. It says he is clothed in a robe, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The Lord comes to fight. The Lord is the Prince of Salvation. How often do we pray to the Prince of Salvation? Sorry, Captain of Salvation. Sorry. Recently, I really prayed to the Lord. Lord, Captain of Salvation, let us really fight this battle. We don't have just a Lord without many titles. We have a Lord with many titles, and we need to know Him and treasure this. We have a general, we have a captain. What is a general? What is a captain? He leads us in the fight against the enemy. And here, His name is the Word of God. In Matthew 13, it's not about we are learning a letter. It's not about learning a law. But that the Lord wants us to really deal with this kingdom. This is really in the heart of the Lord. To me, it became very clear. I thought the seed was the Word of God, and okay, it's supposed to bring fruit. But through the last days, it's not just in general the Word of God. But I would say even it is especially the constitution of the Kingdom of God in Matthew 13. This is really the constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven. In September, it was really intensively sown into us, and now is April. So now is the question, what has grown in us? Everyone who was, December. Maybe in the Philippines even also, there was a conference in November, or maybe October even, about the constitution of the Kingdom of Heaven. The question is, what has grown in the last few months between that time and this? This is the question that we all have to ask ourselves. Because the Lord does not have any interest to have one conference after another, after another, after another. The Lord brings us to Matthew 13 to ask us, what has become of this constitution in us? Is this not sovereign of the Lord? Now is this really important chapter 13 to see what has grown from chapter 6. Yeah, Peter says it is the living and abiding Word of God. Matthew 5-7, I really practice to move this Word in my heart. Even when I am still laying in bed, I want to continuously think about the chapters 5-7 and to move these chapters in my heart. Otherwise, it won't have an effect in me. Otherwise, I just react as usual. What kind of glory is this for the Lord? It's nothing. It's so important to be. We wrote in for points in the Constitution, poor in spirit and pure in heart. It's about my heart. It's not just about my spirit. And if I, it is dependent completely on the condition of my heart. When I recognize that there's nothing, that there hasn't been fruit, that means the condition of my heart is bad. It's just translated a little different. And I have to be honest to myself and the Lord, and to say to the Lord, Lord, I thought I was okay, but where's the fruit? if there's no fruit, then my heart is not okay. It is so important today to be honest with yourself, even. Otherwise, when the Lord comes, it will be tragic. It will be terrible. The judgment will come. Hebrews 6 speaks about this. The earth with thorns and thistles will be burned away. It's not just written for somebody. It's written for me personally. I really need to ask, Lord, how is my heart? How is my heart now in comparison to December? How pure is my heart in comparison to December? This constitution is so concrete. It is really to bring forth the kingdom. Luke 17 was quoted yesterday, because the constitution will bring the image of Christ into us. I want to read Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image." This is the first thing, our image. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the earth. The Lord doesn't want to let anyone rule over this earth who is not in his image, who is not in his likeness. And only those will rule who carry the image of the Lord, who have his likeness. So Genesis 1:26 is quite general. But how do we really, what does this mean? It means Matthew 5-6. This is the very image of Christ, the constitution. People without the image of God, it's like we said, then the devil rules over them. And when the next age comes, he will only give this kingdom to those who are of his image. And it doesn't come overnight. It needs time and it needs growth. It needs my cooperation. It is even a battle. I can't imagine that someone who wants to rule with the Lord in this 1,000 years does not know this spiritual battle. It only comes through difficulties, through tribulations. And Revelation 20 says that in verse 4 that there were souls of those who were beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God. I have the freedom to live a nice life, but if I have the goal before my eyes that I want to bring this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven to earth, then I need to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to pay this price. Lord, I want to reach this goal with you and with the saints. Before, there were many more saints here with us. And even in the youth conferences, there were quite a few more. But this gives me a warning that we are now so few. The enemy is just waiting for us to fall asleep, and then the battle is lost. In Genesis 3, let's read Genesis 3. Genesis 3:17-18. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, you shall not eat of the earth because it is cursed." Paraphrased, "Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you." So we see that the heart of people is really fallen. We love sinful things, and we love the world. the world was crucified by Christ and I love the world, is this not fallen? I love time with my smartphone more than fellowship with the Lord. Is this not fallen? Our heart is really cursed like this earth. It's not so nice and good. In chapter 6 of Genesis, at the time of Noah, and the Lord said, every intent of the thoughts of the heart of man was only evil continually. Is that how we are today? Us humans don't have a good heart. Before the flood, it was terrible. And after the flood, how is it? Did it get better? The Lord said that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, even though God already sent the flood. Our heart is not a good ground. Matthew 13 says, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And the scripture is full of verses that describe the hardheartedness of the people of God. It's very sad. I even have to say about myself, as the Lord, as I was freshly awakened from the Lord at 15, every word that was spoken, it doesn't matter from whom, I received so much. Now, many of us have been here for some years. How is it today? How much do I receive if a brother sends me a verse through WhatsApp in the WhatsApp group? Do I just swipe it away and I say, oh, there's too many verses? This is really a test for my heart. If I read it and it doesn't cut into my heart anymore, then I know that something is wrong with me. I am in a bad condition. This way is not something overnight. You walk back and forth. At the beginning, maybe it was really good ground, but now it is so hard. It's just as hard as the street. It's the test of time. We wrote some, it says in B on the outline, in 2, it says a hardened, stony, and stubborn heart. If the Lord speaks and I can just swipe it away so easily, like some dust on my jacket, is this not horrible? The Lord says, quit with that, and I just swipe it away. I can't resist Satan, but I can resist God. My heart is like as hard as a diamond. Like flint. It's like I'm on the wayside. I am hardened. We see this at first in when the Lord speaks about Pharaoh. He has a hardened heart. The Lord can't say anything to him or to me. No one can say anything to me. You really fall very easily in this condition. When I look at these verses, I don't want to think about other people, but I had to repent much these last days because my heart had become like the wayside, and the love to the world, it's very dangerous. It makes my heart hard. The dealing with this world and vanity, the news, for example, is full of vanity. Today there's some big news, and tomorrow no one's interested anymore. If I busy myself so much with the news and the world and seek and try and find things in there, then it doesn't take very long. Then my heart is like the wayside. And since we all have smartphones, maybe I even read the news in the meeting. Maybe it pops up right next to your Bible app, and then I don't know how it actually is with all of us. Maybe not in the meeting, but what about at home when I want to read the Word? Maybe I read the Word, and then a notification comes, and then I read something else. All of a sudden, our heart is like a wayside. It's really terrible. We become blunt and dull. The Lord, this is about us. This is about the kingdom of God. Especially those who have been longer. But the one who came yesterday is so hungry. But maybe we've been here for a couple years and we're dull and blunt. Hebrews 3 also says about the hardness. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews 3:7, today if you will hear His voice. Sometimes I have to repent that I had to, or that I prayed wrongly. That I prayed that God would speak in the conference. But the problem is not that the Lord doesn't speak, it's that I do not receive. It's that the receivers don't work. We have to pray that it becomes into our hearts. Even as Christ Jesus was on the earth, God in the flesh, every single word, every sentence was from God. But how many heard? Almost no one. It wasn't on the word. It wasn't on the seed. It didn't. There was nothing wrong with the seed or the word. We all have Matthew 13. The word is pure and wonderful. But the question is, how is it with me? How does it look like in my heart? It says, therefore today, if you will, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. And this shows the big problem. It's rebellion. In my daily life, if God can't tell me what I have to do and what I have to leave alone, then I can't hear the word of the Lord, and I won't be able to hear it in the conference either. The Lord said that, for example, you have a flat screen TV, and the Lord said to me, come and have fellowship with me. And I say to Him, no, Lord, I want to watch this TV show. And as I, a friend or someone said this to me, and then I said to myself, well, I don't have a TV. It's not a problem with me. But then the Lord really spoke to me, well, what did I tell you yesterday and the day before? I told you to read in my word, and you said you wanted to do something else. And the Lord really had to show me I also live in rebellion very often. It is a small speaking of the Lord, but it's rebellion when I swipe it away. And I said to the Lord yesterday, Lord, every single, even small speaking of the Lord, from you, if it's about anything, Lord, I don't want to leave it. I don't want to swipe it away. I don't want to be disobedient. I want to be obedient to you. I don't want to be in rebellion. Even in Meribah, with the water, how is it when tribulations come up in my life? I just, this rebellion hardens your heart, and at the end we don't have an ear for the Lord anymore. It's tragic. It's not good. It says, do not harden your heart today. even in verse 13, it says, but exhort one another daily. Lord Jesus, I prayed to the Lord today that I would also encourage the saints and not only exhort. I pray that we take this grace from the Lord. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. So it is called today. Now I can repent. Now I can come to the Lord and repent. And the Lord says, lest any of you be hardened. No one that sits here and that will come should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's the next thing. Our sin is not so harmless. Sin is not, you can't reverse it with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are washed, but you can't reverse it. If I sin in my daily life, if I desire this sinful thing in my heart, the blood cleanses my conscience, but it does not make my heart pure. The sin has an effect of hardening on our hearts. Oh Lord, it is the deceitfulness of sin. What happens if we enjoy sin today? In Hebrews 11, it says to enjoy sin. What happens? You lose this 1,000 years. Fire and gnashing of teeth. This is really a very serious word that the Lord always gives us. And then in Revelation 3:17, about another hardness, he says to the church of Laodicea, we live in the days of Laodicea. The general condition of the church is lukewarmness, tolerance. Everything is okay. Don't be so absolute. And then the Lord says to Laodicea, it says, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy. And this is only someone who is in the church a longer time. 20 years ago, I didn't say this, but now I have even actually said this. The older that you are, or that you become in faith, the more dangerous it becomes that we have this thought. When you get older, you have to go more and more to the doctor. When I was 35, I heard that I needed to go to a checkup every 2 years. Twice every year, sorry. Our heart does not get better over time. It says, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. This is a pride and a prideful heart, and this is a great enemy. This brought Satan's fall forth. And this kind of sin gets into our heart very, very easily. Hezekiah also fell with pride, or through pride. Lord Jesus, Lord, that you would save us. Lord, that we are not so full and dull and prideful or proud. You can't receive anything new from the Lord. We sat in a brothers' meeting with over 60 brothers, and the word of truth they could not accept, the word of the true worship. This was so shocking for me, that showed me this can also happen to me. It is very good daily to humble yourself before God. I want to read a verse that encouraged me quite a lot about, there was a king, Josiah, in Kings 22:19, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that you would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. Have we wept before God about our pride and about our own condition? This is why God listened to him. I heard you, says God. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. We should really humble ourselves. Otherwise, the devil will come and rob us of the word immediately. If we go out of fear, and then we say, well, even in what spoke to you in the meeting, then I have nothing, even at lunch, then I really have to recognize that my heart has become a wayside and my heart is hard, and I have to repent. When I want to come into the kingdom, or if I want to come into the kingdom, then I really need to humble myself before God today. Then we have the hard and stony earth, the stony places that do not have much soil. This is a superficial life. I hear, I have joy in the word, and then I forget. Maybe it's not that the word doesn't give me joy, but it doesn't work repentance in me. There's no growth. There's no fruit. I'm not thorough in the spiritual things. I'm not serious. If my cell phone falls, I look immediately if there's not a crack on it. If there's a scratch on my car, I immediately go to the mechanic. My health, I immediately care for my health. But what about the Word of God? Can I even remember the word that I heard? In Matthew 7, the Lord says to ask and seek, and then you will find, and knock. But just from hearing this word, it's just like in the lecture at school or at the university. When the practice sheet comes, when the handout comes, then in the lecture you were very prideful and knew what you were doing, but what you heard in the lecture, it will really be tested when you have to do the exercises. Maybe we are maybe a little thorough, but you can be more thorough. That we go thoroughly with these spiritual things, that they really become our reality. Of the apostles, they heard in Acts 17:11, if I have this superficial life, there were some that received the word with all readiness, and then search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Do you know what this, how effective this is when you are such that search the scriptures daily? No one can reverse what you have seen. In Galatians 1:11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. How did he do this? He went to Arabia and brought and had was before the Lord in all of his time. And then he says, if it is so good to not be superficial, then there are in 3b hidden stones, secret faults. Psalm 19 verse 12. David prays and says, show me my presumptuous sins, cleanse me from my secret faults. In our heart, it's very easy to hide things from people. You don't know what I'm thinking right now. Can you tell me what I'm thinking right now? I also don't know what you're thinking right now, but God knows. And this hidden sin, secret faults, if it is lust, if it is greed, there's our lists in the Bible where the Lord can really shine a light on us. These secret faults hinder hidden stones. Hidden are coming into the kingdom of heaven. If I hide these things in my heart, then it won't bring forth anything. This hidden sin must be purged out. I read a really good verse. Psalm 123. Oh God, didn't you want to kill these things of the flesh? Lord, I said to the Lord, Lord, I judge this hidden sin in my heart. The big problem with this soil, it's not that the sun doesn't come. The sun isn't the problem. The sun stands for tribulation, trials, and persecution. When you have a family, you have trials. If you don't have a family, you also have trials. Everybody has trials. Everything without a problem with you? No. In the work, at the university, there's heat. But that's not the problem, that we don't bring forth fruit. If I think I have so little time, it's not because I'm at a loss for time. If I just had this is self-deception. It's only an excuse. The Lord won't accept it when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When I stand before this judgment seat and I try to explain to him, you know, Lord King, my circumstances were like this, and that's why the word couldn't grow in me, because it was too hot. Everybody knows that without the sun, nothing grows. But the reason is that there was no root. We need a hidden, fastened, solid relationship with the Father, and no personal handling of the living word. 3C in the outline. I need to have time alone with him. But we also need this solid, hidden relationship. This hearing alone does not help. We see verses in Matthew 6. It says, go to your father who is in secret. Go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your father who is in secret. This is so important. I just had a conversation, there were a couple little trees that grew in the sandbox that my son took home, and we planted them at home. One had roots and one did not. They were both in the same water. The circumstances were the same for these two plants, but one had roots and one did not. And this is my prayer, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to have a solid relationship with you. I don't want to have excuses because of my environment. So the test is really when this tribulation comes up and we fall away. Only through tribulation do we come into the kingdom of heaven. James says, rejoice when you come into all sorts of persecutions and tribulations. When a person has really been tested, then we gain this crown. It is only through many tribulations that we come into the kingdom of God. The solution is not to have a free environment free of Lord, I want to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to have this solid relationship with you, no secrets and deep roots. Then the third ground is the ground with thorns and thistles. The problem is when you have a bit of earth and it's good soil, but then you have thorns against this good seed, they will always win. Thorns grow fast and they have deep roots. When you have the luck to remove these thistles, because these roots are very deep. So then the Lord talks about the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. As long as you are a student and you don't earn anything, you don't have this itch. But when you come into the working world, you want to make a career, and the deceitfulness of riches is very dangerous, and our heart is very vulnerable to this. This is a deceitfulness. So I really want to say this because this really spoke to me. It's not gone in a quick way. Matthew says, do not lay up treasures on the earth where thieves come in and steal and moth and rust destroy, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The problem is you can't follow two goals at one time. This is the first point. The thistles have a goal. Thorns have a goal to separate, to divide our capacity for the Lord. I want to be for the kingdom, but also in my company, I want to have such and such a success. The deceitfulness of riches is maybe I have so and so much money, but if I go after these riches, I will miss the everlasting riches that are in the kingdom. This is the deceitfulness of riches. It cons me out of the kingdom of heaven, and covetousness, the next thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but today I buy this, and tomorrow I buy this, and then I buy all of these things or sell such and so many things, and then I miss out on the kingdom. It's this deceitfulness of riches, also lusting for other things. Maybe I don't have a lot of cares, but enjoyment of the world are also thorns. The pleasures of life. Everything that divides my capacity will hinder me from coming into the kingdom. The Lord really showed me very clearly recently what is hindering me from coming into the kingdom. Your heart is not undivided. Lord, and I said to the Lord, Lord, there are not any, luxurious, nice things, pleasures of life. I want to be fully for you. Even these, these things that are of left and of right, this will suffocate the fruit of the kingdom. And I say, okay, well, I have a relationship with the Lord, but I'm trying to do two things that do not correspond to the Lord. There's only Christ in the kingdom. Lord, give me a heart that is only for you. No other goals, nothing else even near you. Either God or mammon. You will either hate the one or love the other. If your eye is dark, then you will have, your whole body will be darkness. If I am such a believer, then the Lord will say, how great is the darkness within you? It is really a warning, these thorns. And then we have the good ground, a poor, good, and noble heart. Matthew 5:8 and Lucas 8:15. A humble heart, to be having a believing heart, to mix the word with your faith, to chew on the word, to really deal with the word. This only works when my entire attention is given to the word. There are many birds of prey, or birds that want to rob the word. It needs my entire attention and capacity. Then it says, a contrite heart that trembles at his word. Matthew 13, verse 15. Let's read it all together. Matthew 13, verse 15. About a contrite heart. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Amen. Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. Finally, our condition that we are in today, it doesn't matter how it is, but it's not the problem. It's not the problem. If I have a heart that is like flint today, this is not even the true problem. But when I do not repent, when I do not come to the physician, that's the problem. The Lord wants to heal us all and can do this. Praise the Lord. It is His name, Yahweh Rapha. I am the Lord, not even just a doctor, but it is the Lord who heals you. The Lord can only heal such patients that come to Him. So praise the Lord. I hope that we are encouraged to come to the Lord who heals, Yahweh Rapha. Lord, those things that you have told me, I want to repent and I want to be healed. This is so wonderful. We have a great physician who is able to heal all of us. This is a great privilege. Praise the Lord. When He has healed us, then we come to point C. It says, bearing fruit for the Father and the entry into the kingdom. I want to read from 2 Peter how important this fruit is. 2 Peter 1:5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. What a wonderful fruit. This we also see in the Constitution. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. The selfless love. Wonderful love. And then verse 8 says, for if these things are yours and abound, and you will, when the seed of the kingdom comes into us, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 11 says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is a glorious revelation. Now we know how to get to this kingdom, in this kingdom. Let our hearts be treated. In Genesis, God said, you shall till the earth and have dominion over it. Let us daily let the Lord test our hearts. Jeremiah says it is full of deceit. It is deceitful above all things. I experienced one time there was a brother who was almost 50 years in the church, and he was fully in the flesh. And he said, I have the Spirit. He was completely convinced that he was in the Spirit, but he was in the flesh. How can that even happen? Jeremiah 17:9-10 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But then the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart. This prayer is so good. Psalm 139. The Lord says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. It is so important that we go to the physician. We can get rid of these thorns and thistles in this ground of the heart, of our heart. The Lord will sow bountifully. And who let us really sow bountifully into ourselves and into all people. The Lord exhorted me and said, a sower does not take three seeds and thinks very carefully about who gets these three seeds. A sower has a sack and throws a great handful over the field. The Lord asked me, how much do I really deal with the Lord? One brother said that if we go over this word, this constitution, every day for 30 days, it will be in our heart. We really need to sow the seed into every single person who we come across. There are so many opportunities, and maybe there are not some other good opportunities, but Timothy says to be ready in season and out of season. Psalm 1:2, it says, holding fast to the word, it says, my delight is in the law of the Lord. Everyone should ask themselves today, what is the delight of my heart? Is it to have lunch or to do something? Or is it in the law of the Lord? His law, He meditates day and night. When we do this, I'm telling you, there are going to be way less problems. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, this will not this will not draw us anymore. It is so good to sow so richly or so bountifully. It doesn't say to read day and night, but it says to meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and and brings forth fruit in its season. Philippians 4 says, verse 6 and 7, but verse 8 I missed, and it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, the Constitution speaks about this. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Lord, let us really fill our minds with this thing. And then the fruit will be yielded 160 and 30-fold. Ephesians 4 says we can't compare ourselves to others. But it says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But if we all bring forth fruit, we can all come into this kingdom. It's not for us, but it is for the Father. That was a lot. And that's why I wrote down everything. Everything is written down that we can review it. May the Lord, may this kingdom really come into our hearts and bring forth fruit.